Welcome to everyone who is online with us tonight. I congratulate you again, and I welcome you to day number 27 of 30 days of planting the heavens. I'm sure you are just as excited as I am as we look towards the crowning days and the crowning sessions of this journey. And I know that the Lord has been good to us. I believe he has been good to you, and I believe that this will be the best year that you have lived so far in Jesus' mighty name. If somebody is full of faith tonight, and somebody is full of joy and full of excitement and expectation, would you shout the loudest hallelujah on this line, please?
Hallelujah!
Amen. Amen. Praise God. So if you have your 2015 confession, I'm going to ask that you would please get it out. Let's take our confession together and let's get into the Word of God. There's a lot of ground to cover tonight. Let's go. 2, 3, go. 2015 is my year on earth. Heaven is coming down to me. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. The garden of Eden is my new reality. Days of heaven upon the earth are here to stay. Days of laughing, singing, praising, celebrating, rejoicing, and dancing will never end. Welcome heaven, welcome Eden. I am a law of God, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost has a new concept in my life. No more crying, no more whining. Goodbye death and disease, sorrow, sickness, pain, and failure. Former things have passed away. All things have become new. The night season is over. Daybreak is finally here. Good morning, Lion King. For as surely as the earth brings forth a fruit, and as the garden brings the thing sown in it to bring forth, so the Lord God of righteousness and praise will bring forth out of my life. Exceeding grace will make the difference in my destiny. Zoe life, for abundance in the life of God, will continually overflow in me. Life be, I am free from heavy yoke and chain of darkness. This is my walk of my divine wisdom will distinguish me. The God of faith will make a giant out of me. My new season of harvest is here. I am walking in God's new order. The covenant worketh, and every pressure I sow is returning to me speedily. I am walking. Frustration, dysfunction, delay, miscarriage, stagnation, and abortion. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2015 is my year of heaven on earth. I am rising up. Heaven is coming down to me. I am seated in Christ in the heavenly places. The garden of Eden is my new reality. Days of heaven upon the earth are here to stay. Days of celebrating, rejoicing, and dancing will never end. Welcome heaven. Welcome Eden. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, and praise his name forevermore. Hallelujah. I welcome you again tonight to our day number 27 of 30 days of planting the heavens. We're getting so close to our end point, and I so thank God for all that he's doing with us. A few days ago, we started to talk about the things we need to commit to doing beyond the Daniel fast. And we have identified a few very powerful things. The first thing we said was we must commit to honor God. We must commit to honor God. The second thing we identified was we must commit to repair the altar. Worship. Worship must be a constant and ongoing in our lives. Ongoing ministry, ongoing worship, ongoing service to God. The third thing we said we must commit to keep our heavens open. And we talk about the ministry of prayer and how we need to commit to that. The next thing was we talked about how we need to commit to run with vision. And that was last night. And we talked about the power of vision. And we talked about how we must run with vision by committing to a life of consecration. And we learned a lot about what consecration is last night. Tonight we're going on to another yet very important, probably one of the most important, amongst all the ones that we have talked about so far. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, and let's read from verse 8. The book of Genesis, we're always tracking back and always going back to the Garden of Eden. The book of Genesis, I want you to look at chapter 3 and verse, I'm going to read from verse 8 to 11. I have a few scriptures I'm going to read here, and then I will start sharing. Genesis 3 from verse 8 to 11. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 11, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat? Hallelujah. I want you to go over to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Adam and Eve heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the garden, and they ran to hide themselves. They ran away from the presence of God because they violated his instruction. Isaiah chapter 11 and from verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. I want you to go over to John chapter 14. John, the Gospel of John, Gospel according to John, and chapter 14, and we're going to read from verse 15 to 18. John chapter 14, from verse 15 to 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. The Amplified in verse 16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 18 in the Amplified says, I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless, but I will come back to you. Just go a couple of pages after that to John 16, and let's read John 16, verse 7 and verse 12 to 15. John 16, 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then to verse 12. Verse 12 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you the things that are to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and he shall reveal it. I like what the way the Amplified Bible puts verse 15. It says, everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine, the heavenly things, the things at my command and at my disposal, and he will reveal them, he will declare them, he will disclose them, and he will transmit them to you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He will reveal them, he will declare them, he will disclose them, and he will transmit them to you. Tonight, we want to talk about the transmitter of heaven on earth. We want to talk about the transmitter of the blessings of heaven to God's children upon the earth. So this all-powerful, important commitment that we need to make, the next one after running, committing to run with the vision, is what I've called, we must make a commitment to walk with the Holy Spirit. We must make a commitment beyond the Daniel fast, every single day, whatever is left of this year, to walk with the Holy Spirit. As you have seen from the scriptures that we have read, especially this last verse, John chapter 16, verse 15, you see the Holy Spirit is the revealer. The Holy Spirit is the declarer. The Holy Spirit is the discloser. And the Holy Spirit is the transmitter of heaven upon the earth. He is the carrier, the administrator, and the source of heaven on the earth. Just think about a little bit of the history that you and I know, just for a minute. Remember, at creation, the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, the earth was without form and void, the darkness was upon the face of the waters, but the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters, upon the face of the deep. In the New Testament, when Jesus came and brought heaven to earth, the Holy Spirit was the one who administered his coming, and he was the one who announced him to the world. You remember in Acts of the Apostles, when the latter-day prophecy of Prophet Joel came to pass, when he said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, I will send heaven to the earth. Remember, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, it was the Holy Spirit that brought all of that to bear upon the early church. In order to enjoy heaven on earth, in order to enjoy days of heaven on the earth, we must commit to walk with the Holy Spirit daily. I want you to flip back to the Old Testament. Read this one scripture with me, Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. Let's read that from verse 14 to 18. In order to enjoy days of heaven upon the earth, we must make a commitment to walk with the Holy Spirit daily. Isaiah, look at Isaiah 32. Let's read that before we move on. Isaiah 32 from verse 14 to 18. It says, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and the towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. It's talking about how destitute, how wasted, how much of a wilderness there will be in our lives until, verse 15, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness will become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field will become counted as a forest. Verse 16, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. Verse 18, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. That is heaven upon the earth. But look at the transmitter. Look at the way, the key to enjoying that. It says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. If we are going to walk with the Holy Spirit, if we're going to have a qualitative walk with the Holy Spirit, we need to understand two very important things about Him, and we need to walk with these two things. We need to understand these two very important things about the Holy Spirit, and we must act on those two things. We must walk within the context of those two things. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a person. If we're going to walk with Him, we need to understand the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, in order to develop a close relationship with someone, if it's not a thing, if we're going to develop a close relationship with someone, we must know that person, we must understand that person, and we must be committed to doing what they like. If you are going to develop a close relationship with anyone, you must know that person, you must understand that person, and you must make a commitment to do the things that they like. Well, the Holy Spirit is not any different. If we are going to walk with the Holy Spirit, we have to know Him as a person. Many believers relate with the Holy Spirit as though He is a thing. You see, they say the Spirit. No, but He's not an it. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. So in order to walk with Him closely and enjoy the blessings and the days of heaven upon the earth, we need to understand, we need to recognize, we need to know Him as a person, and then commit to doing what He likes. As a person, and in developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit, the person, we must develop a close fellowship with Him. Remember, like the presence of God, like God came down in the garden in the cool of the day, and He did that regularly. We must have ongoing fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You remember, we've talked about worship. We've talked about that ministry of repairing the altar and offering worship. That's one of the ways in which we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But beyond that, we must talk with Him. We must share with Him. We must continually develop a strong relationship with Him. Then we must acknowledge His presence always. You can't have a close relationship with someone that you ignore. You can't have a close relationship with someone who you never acknowledge. We must acknowledge His presence always. How do we do that? Oh, Holy Spirit, you recognize He's there with you. Before you take a step, you talk to Him. You thank Him because He's helping you. You receive His grace. You receive His help. Acknowledge His presence always. Then we must invite Him daily to work in our lives. Every day, when we wake up, it's part of our prayer. Holy Spirit, work in my life today. I know I can't make it without you. I need your help. Walk. I invite you. Walk in my life today. Then we must hand over the reins or the control of our lives to Him. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to struggle with us for the control of our lives. If the Holy Spirit wants to lead us in a direction and we continually rebuff Him and we continually give Him a cold shoulder, He isn't going to force us. He's not going to make us. He's a gentleman. Remember in Revelation 3:20, the Bible says, he says, he knocks on the door. If any man open, he will come in. If we don't open, he won't come in. So we must hand over the reins, the control of our lives to him. You must say that regularly. Holy Spirit, my life is yours. Praise God. Last night, we learned about the power of consecration, living a consecrated life. It's one of the things we do. Holy Spirit, I'm yours. I'll do your will. I'll do the will of the Father. As you help me, I'll be all pleasing to him. I'll be all pleasing to you. That is handing over the control or the reins of your life to him. And then finally, we must never do anything that is of importance without talking to him first about it. Don't assume what he thinks about something. Don't assume what he may lead you to do about something. If it is something of importance, we must consult with him first. We must talk with him first about it and then wait for him to give us light in our spirit before we step out and do it. So remember, I've given you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things we must do if we want to develop a close relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. Number one, we must develop a close fellowship with him. Number two, acknowledge his presence always. Number three, we must invite him daily to work in our lives. Number four, we must hand over the reins and the control of our lives to him. Number five, never do anything of importance or significance without talking first to the Holy Spirit about it. Earlier on, I said there are two things about the Holy Spirit that we must know, that we must understand, and that we must make a commitment to in order to be able to have a good qualitative work with him. The first thing we have just talked about, he is a person. And we must know that, we must recognize that, and we must understand that and make a commitment to working with him as a person. The second thing is a part of what you see in his name. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit. If you are going to have a qualitative walk with the Holy Spirit, then we must be holy. And we must pursue holiness as a lifestyle. If we are going to walk qualitatively with the Holy Spirit, there isn't a way of walking with this person who is called the Holy Spirit, and then we don't make a commitment to living holy and being holy. It's just not going to work. The Bible says two cannot walk together unless they agree. I believe that's Amos 3:3. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. So unless we take on that's part of his personality, that is part of his requirement for us to work with him closely, is that we become like him. We become holy, just like he is holy. To be holy means that we must commit to living a sanctified life. We must commit to living a sanctified life. Pursuing holiness as a lifestyle means we must commit to living a sanctified life. You know, yesterday we talked about committing to living a consecrated life because we want to run. We want to run without anything slowing us down. And I did make that distinction in our session yesterday. Many people sometimes mix the two together. They mix them up like they're one. They are related. They are based on the same principle. They are based on the same goals, the same things we want to achieve, but they are two different things. To live a consecrated life means to live a dedicated life. We are dedicated to the will and to the purpose of God. We set ourselves apart. We're going to live for whatever he calls us to do. We're going to obey him. We're going to do everything that he wants us to do that is pleasing to him. However, committing to a sanctified life is slightly different from that. You know, things can be dedicated. Things can be consecrated that are not people. You know, you can consecrate a car or dedicate a car. You can say, this car is for the use of God. I'm only going to use it for the will and the purpose of God. You can say, this house, you can dedicate or consecrate a house. You can go into a temple or into a home and dedicate some of the instruments or some of the equipment or appliances that I dedicate this to God. But in the same way, you can dedicate people. You can consecrate a child. You can dedicate a child to God. You can dedicate, an adult can dedicate themselves like Jesus did in the garden, like we are supposed to do, like we prayed earlier on tonight. We can consecrate ourselves and dedicate ourselves to living the will of God. That's living a consecrated life. But that's different from committing to live a sanctified life. Now, let's learn a few things about this sanctified life and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Bible says we are His temple. There is no way we are going to be His temple and He will dwell in filth when He is holy. So if we are His temple and He's going to dwell in us, it means we must be holy. Let's read a few scriptures. 2 Corinthians, I'll read a few here, and then I'm going to give you a few that you write down. 2 Corinthians, let's read from chapter 6. 2 Corinthians from chapter 6, and let's read verse 14 to 18. We're talking about making a commitment to live a sanctified life because the Holy Spirit is holy, and we want to have a good qualitative walk with Him. We've talked about Him being a person. We've talked about what we need to do to walk with Him as a person. This we need to do, we must commit to, if we're going to walk with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 14 to 18. Verse 14, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? For what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement is there between the temple of God and the temple of idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And when you do that, I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." I want to read verse 16 from the Amplified. It says, "What agreement can there be between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Even as God has said, I will dwell in and with and among them, and I will walk in them and among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So come out from among the unbelievers and separate or sever yourselves from them." That is, you can't live like them. You can't do the things that they do. You can't walk like they walk. You can't act like they act. You can't talk like they talk, says the Lord. "And touch not any unclean thing, then I will receive you kindly, and I will treat you with favor." I will receive you kindly, and I will treat you with favor. Verse 18, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." Flip backwards there. That's 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18 that we just read. I want you to flip back to 1 Corinthians, same chapter, chapter 6. It's very interesting because I think the Holy Spirit put both of those in the sixth chapter of both of these letters for a significant purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 17 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 17 to 20. It says, let me read from verse 15. "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." Verse 18. "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." What? Verse 19. "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. The Amplified Version in verse 18 says, "Shun immorality and all sexual lewdness." flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed. Any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for, made his own. So then, honor God and bring glory in him in your body. So then, honor God and bring glory to him in your body. You notice there from that last verse in the Amplified, verse 20, so then, honor God and bring glory to him in your body. You notice one of the ways we honor God, and we have talked about honoring God. We have talked about the power, how important, how mandatory it is. If we're going to enjoy days of heaven upon the earth, we must honor God. Well, one of the ways we honor God is by honoring his temple. We talked about honoring his places, his possessions. But you know what? His primary place is actually his temple, which is your body and my body. That's what that scripture says. They said, so then, honor God and bring glory to him in your body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, in order to honor him and please him, we must honor God by keeping our bodies holy, by keeping our physical bodies holy. If you flip over, I'm going to give you these scriptures. Write them down and you can meditate them on your own. I don't have too much time to read them all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 to 8. You see there, one of the ways we honor God is by honoring his temple and living a sanctified life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 to 8. I can't read it, but I want to read verse 4, verse 7 and 8. Verse 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Verse 7. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Verse 8, he therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. You see how honoring God by honoring his temple, our physical bodies, also honors the Holy Spirit, also pleases the Holy Spirit, because that is his temple. You remember, you can write this down in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 19 to 22, the Bible talks about vessels unto honor. It says that if we purge ourselves from certain things, we will become vessels unto honor. Not vessels like wooden vessels and vessels of trash that God can use, but vessels unto honor that God can use. In Colossians 3, 1 to 11, especially if you have the Amplified version of that, it talks a lot about how we need to crucify the flesh. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. And then in 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all the world and all the things that are in it, are not. There is no way you can love those things and love God. And he identifies three major things. He says the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Obviously, those are three major areas of sin, three major areas of uncleanness that stop us from pleasing God. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And pretty much every sin of life falls within those three categories. So it is absolutely important, if we are going to actively walk with the Holy Spirit, we must pursue a sanctified life. Remember yesterday we read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, where it says we need to learn to lay aside every weight and the sin that besets us. And yesterday we learned about what it means to lay aside the weight. The weight are the things that can slow us down. Sin will not just slow us down. Sin will not just slow you down. Sin will stop you altogether. Listen to this. Sin in your life and in my life will not only hinder our fellowship with God, but it will dull our spirit. and cause us to be less responsive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Sin in your life or in my life will not only hinder our fellowship with God, but it will dull our spirit and cause us to be less responsive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Therefore, sin unchecked will cause you to live only in the natural realm, and you will miss God's best for your life. Listen to that. Sin unchecked will cause you to live only in the natural realm, and you will miss God's best for your life. May that not be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. Sin will not only slow you down, but sin will stop you altogether. If you don't stop sin, sin will stop everything. If you don't stop sin, sin will stop everything. Sin is the agent of the enemy. It's what the devil sends into our lives to stop the blessings from flowing, to stop heaven from raining down upon us, to stop our prayers from being answered. If you do not stop sin, sin will stop everything. I want you to read these scriptures. These particular ones, I want you to set your eyes upon them now. I'm going to read them very fast. So if you can't get to them really quick, that's fine. Just write them down. But after this service tonight, I want you to read them. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities or your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear you." So if there is sin, we can't enjoy the blessings of heaven upon the earth. If we tolerate sin and we continue to live in sin and we don't stop sin, sin will stop the blessing flow in our life. I want you to read this one. This one is a very, very powerful one. Jeremiah chapter 5. I want you to flip over there if you can. Jeremiah chapter 5. And let's read there from verse 23. Jeremiah, the book right after Isaiah is Jeremiah. So just flip over a few pages. Jeremiah chapter 5. And let's read there. We're going to read from verse 23. And we're going to read that to 25. Listen, it says, "But these people have a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and they are gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest." Verse 25, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." Look at that. Your iniquities have turned away the blessing. I've turned away these things, and your sins will withhold good things from you. The Amplified Bible in verse 25 puts it very, very powerfully. It says, "Your iniquities have turned these blessings away. Your iniquities have turned these blessings away, and your sins have kept good harvests from you." Your iniquities have turned these blessings away, and your sins have kept good harvest from you. You know, in Psalm 66, 18 to 20, the psalmist said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If you do not stop sin, sin will stop everything. Sin stops the anointing. Sin stops the heaven flow, the blessing flow. Sin stops grace. Sin stops faith. Sin stops everything. You ought to write that down somewhere. If you do not stop sin, sin will stop everything. Of course, you know, sin breaks our fellowship with God. You saw that in Genesis 3, which we read earlier on. Genesis 3, 8 to 11, God came in the cool of the garden to fellowship with Adam and Eve. When he came, they were gone because they had done what he said for them not to do. Their fellowship was broken with him. Overcoming sin will not be a struggle if we walk daily and yield daily to the Holy Spirit. Overcoming sin will not be a struggle if we walk daily and yield daily to the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is cooperating with the Holy Spirit in conquering our flesh. Sanctification is cooperating with the Holy Spirit in conquering our flesh. I'm going to have us recite a prayer like we did last night. So please don't have us turned on yet. I'm going to call that, and I want everybody to be able to hear me so we can pray that prayer together. But before I do that, I want to do two things. Number one, simple steps to a sanctified, to living a sanctified life. How do I stop sin so sin does not stop me? How do I stop sin so sin does not stop me? And that's, I call them simple steps to a sanctified life. Let me give you four of them. Psalm 24, verse 3 to 5, Romans 12, 1 to 3. Those are very good scriptures you can write down. Psalm 24, 3 to 5, Romans 12, 1 to 3. Number one, if you simple steps to a sanctified life, let the Holy Spirit lead you daily. Let the Holy Spirit lead you daily. Number two, identify openings for sin in your life and shut the doors with the help of the Holy Spirit. Number three, let me say that again. Identify openings for sin in your life and shut the doors with the help of the Holy Spirit. Number three, fill your spirit man with the Word of God by reading, hearing, and meditating it daily. Fill your spirit man with the Word of God by reading, hearing, and meditating it daily. And finally, number four, receive and appropriate the grace of God every day for living a sanctified life. Maybe I should go over this list again. Simple steps to a sanctified life, sanctified living. How do I stop sin so sin does not stop me? Number one, let the Holy Spirit lead you daily. Number two, identify openings for sin in your life and shut the doors with the help of the Holy Spirit. Number three, fill your spirit man with the Word of God by reading, hearing, and meditating it daily. Number four, receive and appropriate the grace of God every day for living a sanctified life. Remember, sanctification does not need to be a struggle. It's simply cooperating with the Holy Spirit in conquering our flesh. It's simply cooperating with the Holy Spirit in conquering our flesh. Before that prayer, before I lead us in that prayer, write down Galatians 5, 16 to 25. I'm just going to pick a couple of scriptures there. Galatians 5, 16 to 25. Look at what it says. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you will be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I have told you before that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Walking in the Holy Spirit will give us the strength and the power to withhold sin and to stop it. And remember, praise God, if you fall into sin, remember He's made a way in 1 John from chapter 1 from verse 5. He's made a way. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins unto Him, He's faithful and is just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One man of God said there are three ways to deal with sin. Number one, admit it. Number two, quit it. And number three, forget it. So once we commit ourselves to living a sanctified life and we follow the Holy Spirit daily, mortifying, crucifying the flesh, following Him and doing the things that He's called us to do. And if you find yourself wavering off or wandering off in your thought life or in your flesh, just simply repent, come back to the Lord, confess that sin to Him, and then quit it and walk away from it. And as you do, you'll find your walk with the Holy Spirit becoming sweeter and sweeter. You'll find the blessings of heaven on earth be manifested upon your life. You'll find it easy for the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you into all truth and to bring into your life the rivers of the Garden of Eden like He promised. I want us to pray this prayer just before we close tonight, share the grace and close. It's a very simple prayer. It's not as long as the one we prayed together last night, but I want you to pray this after me as well. We're going to do it twice, just like we did last night. Say with me, "My dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Help me today, Holy Spirit. Teach me
and show me how to be pleasing to you in every area of my life. Have your way in me today, tomorrow, and always. I give you all the praise. I give you full control in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's do it one more time before we share the grace. My dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Help me today, Holy Spirit. Teach me and show me how to be pleasing to you in every area of my life. Have your way in me today, tomorrow, and always. I give you all the praise. I give you full control. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. I thank you again, beloved, for being with us online tonight. And thank you so much for being a part of this service. I pray that the Lord's blessings through the ministry of the Holy Spirit will be one that you and I continually enjoy all the days of this year and for the rest of our lives together. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Amen.